Irish guys are small dick drunks.
Did someone on this flight spackle the lavatory ceiling with trouser mud?
I always get Colonel Ham.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am once again, as always, in perpetuity, your host, Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode 107 of the podcast. As always, I give you the ways that you can reach out. We have a couple good voicemails and emails this week, so keep that up, guys. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. is the email address. You can also leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. Also, like the Baller Lifestyle podcast page on Facebook. I posted today a couple of fantastic links, and you can't be a part of the discussion if you're not following that page on Facebook. So please go there, the Baller Lifestyle podcast on Facebook, and like the page there. And as always, I implore you to download, subscribe to the show on iTunes, so that you get it delivered to your inbox or your iTunes every week. Joining me now, as always, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Good. I won a very small pool, but I won the halftime and final of the Super Bowl pool.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
But I ran the pool, and it was like pulling teeth. I got invited to a Super Bowl party held at like a kind of a private room of a bar restaurant.
Oh yeah, nice.
But I only knew the couple that was hosting the party.
Yeah.
And so I was like, fuck, I'll come up with something. And I was like, all right, I'll just do the pool, just because if it's bad, at least I'll have action. And then it was supposed to be $5 a box, and I could not, and there were like 40 people there. I could not fill it up. I got like to like halfway.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And like, you know, I figure with $5 a box, you say, all right.
Yeah, can I get four?
Give me four boxes.
Yeah.
And guys are like, I'll take one box.
Oh, my God. So these were not men. You were not, you didn't go to a Super Bowl party with men.
Yeah, and they were, and one guy, I remarked to the guy, I said, you know, you kind of remind me of a guy in the movie Fargo. It was the Asian guy that was trying to hit on the pregnant woman. You know, he's crying at the table.
Yes.
Because he was like getting like a little weird, and I was like, you kind of remind me of the guy in Fargo. Have you ever seen Fargo? He's like, I haven't seen that. I was like, yeah, there's an Asian guy in Fargo. You kind of remind me of that. So
was he overserved?
He seemed a little off. But anyway, so I had at the last minute, we're sitting at like 45 boxes filled, and right. I was like, okay, we're making it 250 a box, and we'll do the payouts are 50. 75, 50, 75 for first, second, third, fourth. Uh-huh. And everybody just go double up, like go write two of the same. And then there were like discrepancies because people, went. But yeah. It was like, it was very painful, and I didn't know these people, so I wasn't sure who I'm supposed to be, collecting money or telling them, hey, you didn't write your name twice or whatever. Yeah. And so I fucking deserved to win two of the four.
Yeah, you did. You did. So you did a lot of work.
I won 150 bucks. I put in, I had to put in a little extra. I put in 30 bucks.
Yeah, good for you.
So yeah, that was good. And I also, another crazy thing is I was in the men's room at that same Super Bowl party.
And Brandon Spikes walked in.
But washing my hands, I heard two guys saying something like really racist. It was just like, really like old school, dumb racism.
Yeah.
And I'm not naive to think that racism is gone, but it's jarring when you hear that kind of, like, when you hear hard racism, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot there are some people, like, really, really, like, I love busting on stereotypes and all.
Yes.
But I don't actually, like, care. Like, it's weird that people actually, like, hate people because of the color of skin, and I know, like, I'm not trying to sound all profound. It's just weird when you actually hear people actually have an issue.
I just had this conversation with somebody the other day that it used to be that you would encounter racism much more often. And these days, you don't really run into it as much. I mean, this is two white guys having a conversation. So.
Right. All right. Look, I don't want to be like that profound white guy. Like, right. I don't see color. I see color. I tell right. you. Of black course. Guys got huge dicks. I yeah. got it.
Yes.
But
yes. Some
but
stereotypes
like,
are earned.
Yeah. Irish guys are small dick drunks. Like, I get, like, I like the fun stereotypes and all. But, like, I don't actually give a shit. Like, it's weird yes. that people are, like, there are people who are hung up on Cam Newton being black. Like, I don't, I just, you know, it doesn't, I have different issues, but, like, it's weird. It's weird when you hear flat-out racism.
You rarely encounter it anymore, and it used to be that you would encounter it all the time.
I guess there are people that feel that way, but people know, like, I don't break this out unless I know the company. So when you hear somebody just going full-on racist in a men's room, you're like, wow, this guy's very comfortable in his racism.
Yeah, it's a little bit jarring. I know I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. Speaking of people that had some action on the game, let's talk about Lady Gaga and her prop anthem bet. Because when we discussed it last week, we liked her in the under at 216.5. And that line went up to like 220 at some point. And Lady Gaga, if you watch the game, she finishes the song and then she styles it. She pauses and styles it with an additional The Brave. That
right, like you're not... The lyrics don't call for an additional The Brave.
No, that was a second The Brave. And so Vegas was up in arms. A lot of sports books paid at the, you know, at the finish of the actual song. Some paid at the beginning, at the end of the first, The Brave. But I feel like Lady Gaga really had an agenda at that point, and she thought, you know what? I know people are betting on this. I'm gonna style it with an additional The Brave at the end of the song. Not cool.
No, I'm not okay with that. And I didn't follow all our prop bets, but it seemed like we were doing pretty well. Like we yep. thought low scoring. We definitely said Denver opens with a field goal. They yep, did.
We did.
We said liked, the Greg Olsen prop.
Yep.
Which he didn't blow away. He won 4-3 on that one, but he won.
The we liked Cam Newton over 40.5 yards rushing. I believe we hit that. And we liked orange. Well, we were vacillating between.
Well, we were just saying. I said orange because that's one of two colors you could actually drink.
Only orange or yellow. It's the only two colors allowable, and it was orange. Right. The Gatorade did right. come in orange.
Right.
Yeah, so people should have been like, we're prognosticators, Ed.
And one last thing. I actually am coming to the defense. Now, Cam Newton, I told you I thought he was a douche because he smiles or he sulks. So, like, that played out. Yeah. But what's with the NFL? Just like they have, like, weird pavement behind the benches where guys fall all the time. Yeah. Or the fact that they have refs that aren't full-time refs. Like... they had both press conferences or podiums like next to each other so they Crazy. Could hear Crazy. They could hear the guy talking shit.
It's insane.
And that's why he stormed off. And it's like the NFL chintzes when they are just like they're drowning in money.
Well, this is like a brand new stadium too. Like it's not like it's right, you know, right. it's like the clubhouse at Wrigley Field is tiny and it sucks and you gotta take batting practice That's under right. the stadium and all this shit. Well yeah, because the ballpark was built in the early 1900s. But this Levi right. Stadium, it's supposedly state of the art. And there's a game there every Sunday, or at least 8 Sundays a year, and There's press conferences after every game. What's going on here that we got to have a shared press room at the Super Bowl? This is crazy to me.
Yeah, and also like I don't ever give a shit about hearing losers talk.
No,
like because they don't, you know, they usually are bummed out. Like they don't offer you like some great thing. Like maybe once a season you Never. Get like a great soundbite, but overall like. Who gives a shit? Like, just tell the losers, like, fine, you're not part of the trophy presentation. Go home. We'll interview you in a few days if there's, like, a real follow-up needed. But, like, you never get anything good out of that. Oh, at least Cam Newton just validated reasons to dislike him.
I agree. I I remember that when I was a kid, when they'd be like, let's go to, pardon me, let's go to Pat O'Brien and the loser's locker room. And it's all, you go from the champagne celebration and it's all.
Yeah, it's just a bummer. It's dour, all hushed, you know, like, tones.
Yeah, they lost and they're, you know, not happy about it. Okay, emails. Gents, on your Super Bowl prop bets portion of the last episode, I feel like an opportunity was missed. While both of you reveled in your lack of knowledge on Coldplay while discussing a Coldplay prop bet, you failed to source noted unabashed fanboy Jason Stewart. Were you worried it might be considered cheating? It was practically inside info. That's from Rome Show. That's a great point. I didn't think of that. It didn't
occur. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't. It didn't occur to me that when Jason worked for the Jim Rome Show, it was a big deal that he was a huge, that was like a theme of the show, that he was a big Coldplay fan. If we needed, I can't remember the bet in question, but if we needed to know any inside info on Coldplay, we should have reached out to our boy Jason Stewart.
I'm really embarrassed on his behalf.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves that band.
I think The Onion had a good headline. It said, 39-year-old office manager's iTunes playlist will be this year's halftime show.
That's great. That's great. I will, and obviously, like the halftime, it's if you watch it, it's like really well produced. Like it's a production, and they do a good job of making it. It just doesn't appeal to me. It's not anything that I'm interested in. But and this Coldplay guy, he's a real douche. But he has lots of bracelets. One of the bracelets I saw him wearing, he even had a ring tied to it. He had a bracelet with like
a lot of causes.
Yeah, he supports a lot of causes. He tapes his fingers. Like, he's a real bag. But I saw him in like two or three different places this week, and each place he was wearing one of the sickest pair of Jordans I think I've ever seen. They were like red, white, and blue colorway Jordans that I'd never seen before. And it was really driving me crazy that I found myself coveting this guy's shoes when I couldn't stand the guy.
Well, I can't stand Michael Jordan, so both of them can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, they can go. Yeah, good point. Okay, Ed, also a voicemail. We were discussing, this is important actually, we were discussing a couple weeks ago Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes, we did. He was going from Texarkana to Florida.
Right. Or? I believe this came up because there was something about Burt Reynolds in Fancy Pop.
No. I told you that I went to the Burt Reynolds and Friends Museum, which my buddy pointed out. It has since been closed. Apparently, there were not enough visitors.
Well, you know,
not enough visitors to see the Evening Shade segment.
Well, I think he auctioned off all his memorabilia. He probably
that was the music.
Yeah, he probably had loaned some of his items. Yeah.
Here's my Florida State helmet. Here's the Bandit's hat. Or was he Smokey? Who's I don't know.
No, Smokey's the cop.
Oh, Smokey's the cop. Jackie, yeah, he's
the Bandit.
Right, the hat.
It had been a while since we saw the movie, and we didn't really get the whole, like, why it was such a big deal that they couldn't, like, drive Coors across state line. And you knew that they were coming from Texarkana. Well, Chuck in Texarkana reached out, and he set us straight on what is going on in Smokey the Bandit. So let's have a listen.
Now, not to stereotype, but I have to think 68% of the male population in Texarkana is named Chuck.
That's a good point. Chuck is a guy, though. Chuck's a guy that you can count on.
And don't get me wrong. Chuck's a way cooler name than Ed. I just feel like that's a very Texarkana name.
Like, if you're picking sides,
that's like a steady guy. Like, that's the guy.
Like, if you're at a bar and somebody messes with your woman and you need backup, you need a Chuck, maybe a Troy, a Tony. What you don't want to have is an Ethan or an Aaron. You want a tough guy, and Chuck's a tough guy. That's my point. Okay.
Right, guy's not gonna back down from shit.
Yeah, let's listen to Chuck in Texarkana.
Brian, Fancy, Ed, Chuck. I'm in East Texas. I'm actually in Texarkana. I wanted to respond to the Burt Reynolds Museum, where Ed got the koozie and the Smokey and the Bandit issue. Apparently, Coors beer back in the day could only be trucked a day's drive from Golden, Colorado, as it was not pasteurized. So original Coors beer was some sort of, you know, holy grail or some sort of delicacy to be had. So Burt Reynolds took a bet from Big and Little Enos Burnett to get a truckload of Coors for the winner of the Atlanta 400. The worst part about me knowing all this, I live in Texarkana, and I have to put up with the annual bandit drive-in from the Trans Am Club of Dallas or what have you. So, you know, while it's a good show, I mean, it's not the Godfather or anything, but the history of Coors beer, after it became pasteurized and available everywhere, it sucks, and Coors Light sucks as well. Thanks for your show. Thanks for all you do. Chuck, signing off. Thank you, Bob.
Ed, Chuck in East Texas coming through for us there.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. I love clarifications.
Me too.
Yeah, a little history lesson. I like it.
I mean, I'm way too lazy. First of all, I never would have looked that up. Secondly, I never, who knows when the next time, you know, I haven't seen Smoking the Bandit since I was 10. I don't, you know, I'm probably not going to watch it anytime soon. Maybe never again.
You know, I actually saw it like about 5-6 years ago. I had one of those flights where you could choose movies
know,
and like in the seat in front of you. And they also had classics. And it was like Oscar winners and Smokey and the Bandit. Like there were, those were the classic movies. And I was like, you know what? I haven't seen this since I was a little kid and I watched it. It was entertaining. Yeah. For an airplane, yeah. You're enjoying it still.
But I will take issue. I mean, I appreciate that Chuck says that Coors Light's Coors sucks and so does Coors Light. And I will agree, Coors Light is a terrible beer. But if I'm drinking a shit lager, like if you have me over to your barbecue and you're
you actually turned me onto this like 2 years ago because I just assumed everything under that umbrella was shit.
Yeah. If you have me over to your barbecue and it's summer afternoon and you're grilling burgers and dogs in the backyard and you're like, hey, there's some beers over there in that cooler. Go crack it. And I go crack that cooler and there's some ice cold original Coors in that cooler. I'm not going to be bummed. I'm going to be pretty happy about it because as far as like shitty American lagers go, it's one of the best ones. I enjoy
it's
Coors.
It's a perfectly fine cheap lager.
Yeah, like if you're on the golf course and you go and you stop the cart girl and you ask her for a 6-pack of original Coors, like I'm gonna be wanting one of those. I'm in on original Coors. Okay, Ed, what is going on? Let's talk some sports. Is Marshawn Lynch retiring or what?
So yes, he announced, and it was probably one of the cooler retirements of all time, aside from the fact that he put an emoji on there.
I think he put a couple emojis on there.
I thought he just did the peace symbol, the fingers peace. But it was pretty cool. He just showed a pair of hanging up cleats, and that was how he retired. Like, that's it. I'm out.
He hung up his cleats.
Love that guy. I was also thinking the worst retirement ever was Mike Schmidt. That guy just cried like a bitch. He was like, oh, boy, who wanted to become a baseball player? He was just a puddle for like 25 minutes.
Snot
like,
was dripping into that ginge stash of his. He had that 80s haircut. It was always a little awkward in the 80s when you saw baseball players without their cap on. I happened to meet Steve Yeager one time, and he looked like a fucking serial killer with those glasses. The 80s hairstyles were so bad. They were all poofed up in the front. And Mike Schmidt crying without his cap on is a good personification of that.
And also, it's like, hey, asshole, you're batting 168. There's a reason why you're retiring in May. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway,
yeah,
it was revealed this week that Marshawn Lynch hasn't spent a dime of the $50 million he has earned over the course of his career.
Right.
According to Yahoo Finance, 29-year-old Beast Mode has lived solely off his $5 million per year endorsements with Nike, Pepsi, Skittles, Progressive, and Activision, which has sent everyone in a tizzy. Brian, I know it would be tough, but if you had to do it, Could you live off of $5 million a year?
I just, it's so impressive how Marshawn Lynch has scraped by all these years on only $5 million.
I mean, I saw so much action, like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. Now, it's very smart to realize that you can live off of just the endorsements, but sure. Like, Jesus. The guy is like about to be given an additional trophy for only living off of $5 million a year.
I know. Well, Ed, despite the fact that he plays for Seattle, and I'm like you, I love Marshawn Lynch.
Right. I hate that franchise. I fucking love Marshawn.
I love that he's from Oakland. I love that he went to Berkeley.
Best run ever that I've ever seen in NFL history.
You were on the same page. I just before we started recording, I posted that run with Marshawn Lynch's commentary on our Facebook page.
Oh, my dick.
Because he single-handedly destroyed the New Orleans Saints franchise. They've never recovered from that run.
And one of those stiff arms seemed egregious. Like, one of them was just to throw someone into the ground.
It was the second one.
He didn't need it. He just wanted to demoralize just one more guy.
He broke so many tackles. It looked like he was playing like against a peewee team. He blew a guy up.
You ever imagine like, well, what if I could play against peewee? Yes. Like, what would it be like? That's it.
That's
it. Just throwing people down.
And he did it like he like juked guys. He stiff-armed guys. He blew guys up. He did a spin move. Like, he did every single thing you could do to beat a guy, and he beat the Saints into oblivion. He's one of my favorite running backs. I love everything about him. I love it when he grabs his dick. I love it when he blows people up. I love that he puts a velvet rope around his Lamborghini when he parks it on the street.
I know. It's all great moves.
It's all great. But Ed, as much as I love this guy, there's no way that he hasn't spent any of his NFL money.
Well, he owns a Lambo.
He owns a Lambo, and maybe he's managed his money well, and maybe he's made some good investments, but he wasn't like a Madison Avenue darling when he was running people over with his Porsche Cayenne in Buffalo. Like, he had to get to a Super Bowl before Skittles was interested in what he was doing, and I'm sure he maybe got a little bit from Nike all throughout, but he wasn't getting video game money.
The counterpoint, he's a first-round draft pick. I'm sure he got like some initial EA Sports money, and I bet on $65,000 a year in Buffalo, New York, You could live better than Henry VIII in 16th century England.
Great point. That's a great point.
I mean, Buffalo? Yeah. There's no way you can spend $100,000 in that town.
I didn't realize he's only 29.
I mean, he's smart on many levels.
Yeah. He's
And I remember reading like a Sports Illustrated, story on him. That, like, he's got like business ventures. Like, he's one of those NFL players that you're gonna be looking at like 15 years from now. Like, he actually is on it.
Well, yeah, the whole beast mode thing and his whole shtick of not talking to the press to sort of drum up more interest in himself and be a little bit
also,
of enigma.
And also, like, he drummed up interest in himself while not having to talk to assholes like Collins and Collinsworth and Costas.
But he still did like the time he went on Conan with Gronkowski and played Mortal Kombat.
Great.
I mean, just so funny. He's a cool dude, and I hope for his sake, NFL's a rough game. He's 29 years old. He's got all his money. I hope he doesn't get, because people are going to not want him to retire. He's still a very viable player, and any team would be better with him on it.
Yeah, every team would kill to have him on.
So let's stay retired. Marshawn, if you're retired, let's stay retired because you're the man.
Whereas Ray Rice,
right,
is still saying, hey, just because I hit my wife, I can't get a second chance. Like, no, it was like the 3.4 yards per carry that you can't get a second
chance. That's exactly what it was.
Come on.
Okay, Ed. What's happening at Bass Pro Shop?
Well, here's an interesting story. This Wednesday at 3 p.m. in Clarksville, Indiana, a man was waiting for a greeter at Bass Pro Shop to check his firearm when he accidentally discharged his weapon into his foot. Now, Brian, the report says no one else was hurt, but my question is this. Considering the other man was identified as a Clarksville, Indiana Bass Pro Shop greeter, are we sure he wasn't trying to get someone to put him out of his misery?
Great point. I like that he's like, he needs his gun so bad in the Bass Pro Shop
right.
that he has to.
I need to go pick up some hunting equipment.
Yeah.
But I also need to bring some hunting equipment with me.
I don't even want to say this, Ed, because one, I had long announced, even on this program, I think it had been long, a long running story for me, a through line in my life, that one of the worst things ever would be breaking both of your arms, because then you can do things for yourself. And then
careful what you say next, because
right,
you might be cursed.
Lo and behold, I broke both my arms. But the other worst thing would be to accidentally shoot off or have one of your, specifically your big toe, severed, because I wear flip-flops nearly every day.
Oh,
I mean, I not a day goes by that I don't have flip-flops on. And in the summer, and you know that the summer here in Southern California is like 9 months of the year, I'm wearing flip-flops always. And if I didn't have my big toe, I would have to switch to like those soccer sandals that you like slide your feet in. And I mean, imagine like somebody would see me in public wearing those type of footwear.
Or you could wear shoes, sneakers.
I mean, I wear sneakers once in a while, but mostly I mostly wear flip-flops.
Guess when the last time I wore flip-flops? Like really? Like I'm 39 years old. When was the last time?
At that when you're at that whorehouse in Bangkok?
Nope. I would guess the last time I wore flip-flops was either when I was 8 or 9 years old.
What?
Yeah, I promise you. There's not like a picture that will leak. Like I don't want shit between my toes. Like I don't know.
What about when you take the
not now, not ever.
Now we know. It's been determined that you hate the sun. You don't, your Irish skin does not like the sun.
I hate feet too. I don't like seeing also, other people's feet.
You also hate feet. But what about in the summertime when you take the fam down the shore? Everybody in Jersey, this is a rite of passage in Jersey. Everybody goes down the shore.
I get forced into it. I get browbeaten into it like once or twice a summer.
Yeah, and then you go down the shore. You put some flip-flops on your feet because you can't. No. You're walking in the sand. Like what do you?
I wear fucking sneakers until I get to the sand, and then I walk in bare feet in the sand.
In the hot-ass sand.
Yeah. If I have to pick up the pace, or maybe when I'm walking to my spot, I wear the sneakers until I get to the spot, and then I take them off, but like, no fucking flip-flops. Yeah. I don't want shit between my toes.
You don't own any flip-flops?
There are no flip-flops in my possession. Wow. Zero.
What if you have to run down, like, you're in your high-rise apartment, and you have to run down to the lobby, like, you get a package delivered to the lobby, and you gotta just run down there real quick.
Did it today. You know what I wear?
Sneakers.
My sneakers that are untied. Like I can make it without like tying back my sneakers. Right. I can just kind of shuffle. Just
slide your feet in there and off you go.
Yeah. Okay. But no, there's no scenario where I'm going to be wearing flip-flops. Well, never.
At least you're true to who you are. Ed, I will say this. I've never been to a Bass Pro Shop. But no, it seems to me that is the kind of place where someone is prone to shoot off his own toe. Might hang out.
Do you remember the when Anthony Hardaway was on Memphis State and they were like really good? They played in the Pyramid and they used to have like NCAA tournament games there.
Yeah,
and this giant, like enormous structure, and it looks like a pyramid. It's on the, I guess what is that, the Mississippi River,
right?
And yes. That has been made into a giant Brett Bass Pro Shops now.
You're kidding me.
No, like an entire arena. Like that must, the business must be booming for that thing.
So Bass Pro, it's like Walmart, but it's just like camping and fishing and hunting items.
I mean, it has to be guns, right?
And guns, right. But there, see, that's, I live in Southern California. There's not any kind that, like those kind of people aren't around here.
Well, same here. I've never even been to a Walmart in my life. Like, like there's not, it just doesn't exist around here, but. That's got to be a thing.
Yeah. No, I get it. And we've talked on this show before about issues we've had with our bowels.
Code Brown.
I even mentioned the time that I was, well, it's happened to me a couple times, and I've mentioned I've described in detail on the show both times that I've vomited in my seat in an airplane.
Oh, that's right. You booted right into a bag.
Into a bag twice. And I've also, and this is not something you want to have happen, but sometimes you're not feeling your best and you're on an airplane and you have to evacuate yourself.
I'm undefeated, by the way.
You've never shit on a plane?
Not once. And I got to tell you, one time it was touch and go.
Yeah.
I was taking a direct from Newark to Hong Kong.
Oh, that's far.
It definitely has a two handle in the time.
Yeah.
And I mistakenly got like fast food at the airport right before.
Yeah.
And I was definitely percolating like around the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
But you know how sometimes you can just say like, all right, we're gonna work through this. And then I went back to sleep.
Yeah.
And I made it through. That was my closest. And then I went to the Hong Kong airport, and as you would imagine.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. Yes. Better than my own bathroom.
Yeah, it's probably like made out of gold and it's all futuristic and shit.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, luckily, I'm like the Joe DiMaggio of not being able to shit when you travel.
Yeah.
It's just something happens and I just can't, I don't have to. And, you know, it's pretty annoying because that, you know, if you're away for a while, you really want to.
Right, if you're away for a while, but it is a talent at the same time.
Yeah, but there has been a couple times when I've been so hungover on a transcontinental flight that I've had to go in there and evacuate myself. But I will say this, Ed, I've never shit so badly on a plane that the pilot had to turn it around and return to the airport because. Recently, a British Airways flight was forced to turn around and land.
Wow.
Because somebody destroyed the bathroom to such an extent that it was rendered useless. And Ed, this wasn't like a slow, just a short hopper. This was a British Airways flight from Heathrow to Dubai.
Wow.
And there's more than one, but there has to be some rule. Like they need like so many, because there's more than one toilet. There's probably four toilets at least.
It was
747. It probably had.
Yeah, that's a big enough. Yeah, that's an 8 toilet.
Yeah.
10 toilet.
Yeah, there's probably plenty. But for whatever reason, whatever happened in this one lavatory destroyed it to such an extent. That 30 minutes into the 7-hour flight, the captain. Wow,
30 minutes?
Yeah.
That means this guy could have gone in the, and it was a guy for sure.
Oh, of course.
But he could have gone in the airport.
There's only two culprits here, two possible culprits, a man or a child.
Children can be disgusting.
They can do disgusting things.
But they cannot ruin something. This is a dude. It's the Dubai flight.
Yeah.
Dude had too much lamb.
Yeah.
In London.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, went to one of those sketchy kebab places.
Yep. Or one of those, you know, where they have the meat twirling on the thing with the blowtorch on the side.
Yeah. Yeah, the donair kebab.
Yeah, they slice the bits of meat off.
Or it's like a hardcore Brit who went like big at like a dicey pub and got the bangers and mash and the bangers and mash are just not agreeing.
Basically, and you know, 30 minutes in, that's just after they've turned off the fastened seatbelts. So he was white knuckling in his seat and as soon he was just waiting, just staring it down, waiting for that light to turn off so he could bounce straight in that toilet.
Yeah.
And just
here. Yeah, the drink cart isn't even up.
No, not even close. A passenger tweeted, "Insane! Our British Airways flight to Dubai returned back to Heathrow because of a smelly poo in the toilet. 15 hours until next flight. # British Airways." Quote, "The pilot made an announcement requesting senior cabin crew, and we knew something was a bit odd," he said. About 10 minutes later, he said, You may have noticed there's quite a pungent smell coming from one of the toilets. He said it was liquid fecal excrement. Those are the words he used.
Wow.
Ed.
This is insane.
It's,
this
Yes. Well, I'm
all right, go on with your.
I'm perplexed here because my money was not on liquid fecal excrement being the culprit here.
I figured. Well, maybe a spray job on the wall. Right.
Well, originally I hear a shit brings down a passenger jet, and I'm thinking solid, like it somehow disabled the vacuum flush, or it's just too much of something in there.
Yeah. Like the guy did a double order of kebab.
Right. But it wasn't, Ed, it wasn't the function of the toilet, but instead the overall condition of the lavatory. Ed, I need to know. Did someone on this flight spackle the lavatory ceiling with trouser mud?
It is so disgusting to think about that. Like, they couldn't. And the fact that they called in the senior member, that means, like, the junior members couldn't get it down. Because, you know, this, like, the grizzled flight attendant has been through it all. And they're like, I'll let the junior. So that was, you know, like three people couldn't get it down.
They had
couldn't
to huddle up the crew.
But each crew, I mean, you know how like after 9/11, we realized we needed air marshals.
That's right. Yes.
Every crew should have like the equivalent of the wolf from Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a fixer. A half hour in, there has to be people with solutions.
Well, it's got to be like, here's the thing. Like, if it was the toilet itself, I know I've spent time on boats, and I know that on boats, somewhere there exists a stick. And if something's happening with that toilet, somebody can crack it open, and they go get a stick, and they push whatever it's in down to where it goes in the tank.
But liquid. I think they went hovercraft method and then did a spray job.
Spray job, and just whatever it was just so they couldn't just tape off the bathroom and say out of service because that recycled air was blowing just tiny particles. People were breathing in the particles.
Yeah, and I bet that white noise they pipe into the airplane, like that wasn't covering the noises coming out of that bathroom.
No, I get. Oh yeah, for sure. Whoever did it, whoever dealt it,
this was like a Lloyd Christmas Dumb and Dumber job.
Everybody on the plane knew exactly what happened. Ed, you hear these stories about these contract murder stories. I don't know about you. You're a married guy. I'm a guy that's in a relationship, and my significant other, she likes to throw on this show. It's called Dateline. And on Dateline, it's all.
Is that different from To Catch a Predator, or is that where it appears?
Yeah, it's different. Well, To Catch a Predator is.
I thought that was a segment of Dateline. No?
It was originally. Oh. But now, much like To Catch a Predator becoming just a show about them catching pedophiles, Dateline is exclusively a show about spouse murder.
Dead spouse.
Right. And guess what? The husband did it.
Oh, yeah. 100% of the time.
And this is me when that show comes on. The husband did it. Hey, he did it. The husband did it. It was the husband. Right. Sometimes it was the wife, though. Well, Ed.
Yeah, as Chris Rock said in one of his famous OJ thing, he's like, oh, there's a reason. It's just don't do it. But, like, there's always a reason.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, everybody's got a reason. Well,
just don't do it.
Ed. Noella Rotundo of Australia.
Australia? That doesn't sound very Australian.
I think she's of African origin. Actually, I know she is. Because recently, she surprised her husband by showing up to her own funeral. Surprise! I'm still alive, she said to the, I'm sure, shock of the man that had only a few days before
minor surprise
paid contract killers in Africa to rub the wife out, but apparently they were not successful. They double-crossed the husband, they took his money, they allowed the woman to live and head back to her home in Melbourne.
I mean, call me old-fashioned,
yeah,
but I expect contract killers to stick to their word, right?
Right. Like, you give a guy $7,000 Australian dollars, you're expecting a dead wife.
Yeah, exactly. Don't blow it all on Foster's and and Vegemite.
Yes. Also, this is what, like in the Congo or somewhere that this happened. The contract, they do not respect women there. The contract killers told her, quote, "We just want you to go back to tell other stupid women like you what happened." Like,
what? They were trying to send a lesson?
Yeah, they're like, be more mindful of your husband. And then she got back.
The more you know, stars come over their heads when they tell her this.
She got back, she ambushes the husband, and now she's getting death threats from other African people in Australia for somehow disrespecting her husband. But I will say this. Ed.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I need to know, how bad was this husband at contract murder?
Yeah. He's like a negative 10.
Right. What you need is to find a Chuck or a Tony.
Yes. And think about, if you're paying to have someone killed.
Yeah.
There's only a couple details that you need to make sure. Like, if I were paying to have my wife killed, I would need to go through the game plan, like, over and over again. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Just tell me again, what are you going to do?
What's the method?
And then the flip side is, you're paying people, and the type of people you would pay to kill, probably not the best dudes in the world. No. Not going to stick to the word. You want to kill somebody, what is the vacation activity you're going to want to do?
You go on a cruise, of course.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you could potentially say, hey, they went missing one night, or just stay on a cruise and, like, I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but I think at this point, like, 45% of the people who go on cruises now die for some reason or another.
We've discussed the cruise eventualities, and number one and two on the eventualities of all cruises is A, spouse murder.
Right.
And two, right, murder by stranger.
Right. Or C.
Yes.
Toilets overflow, you die of dysentery.
Right, that's on there too. Contraction of unknown illness.
Four, capsize.
Followed closely by contraction of known illness.
Five, drunken captain.
Right.
We've had a lot of drunken captains.
That's not even on the list, but yes, that's one as well.
or F, What was the thing recently? There was an elevator that crushed a few employees to death. Like,
yes, there was an electrician.
There was a video of blood pouring from the elevator banks on the cruise. Like, don't go on a cruise. If we can give anyone any advice from the show,
yes,
it's that.
Never cruise.
Don't ever go on a cruise. Never. Cruise.
And don't listen to that guy.
Because cruises are two men enter, one man leaves.
That's right.
That's you're going to die.
Don't listen to that shithead at your office that's like, oh, me and Marianne had the best time. We went to Turks and Caicos and St. Thomas, and it was,
we got to have dinner with the captain.
The food. Oh, but the lobster buffet, best I've ever seen. You would have so much fun. No, I'm not going on any cruises. Okay, Ed. It is time. Yeah. Our very own pop culture correspondent, Ed. I'm sure your beautiful wife, Michelle, is keeping you abreast of all the happenings on The Bachelor. The Bachelor is getting good as fuck. And I will say this. This Bachelor, real boring, but he's got the best choices. Like, he's narrowing it down to maybe the three hottest.
You've mentioned in the past, this is a very attractive crew.
Yes,
right?
he's got a strong team, and he's whittling them down, a little too slowly for me, but he's whittling them down to a place where he will have three very, very attractive fantasy suite dates. But let's talk about everything that's going on in the world of pop culture. Of course, we're joined now by our very own Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Hey, Kate.
Hi. Hey, guys. My seat's very tall today.
Yeah, it is. We got a little bit of a different setup. Why don't you
to adjust my microphone.
Pull that whole mic stand a little bit closer to you. Yeah, and then the adjustment is here. You want a bit higher.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
Okay. All right, we're in it.
Hey, by the way, yep. I've mentioned in the past, I get these weird Skype requests. We do the show over Skype.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And you know how you like get things that pop up? And I've gotten Sexy Kitty 1616.
I always get Colonel Ham.
Ms. Tina.
Yeah.
I got someone just now that says lid butter. That doesn't sound
lid
very...
butter. That sounds like a lubricant.
Yeah, that sounds gross though. Yes. Like that doesn't sound.
I would definitely accept that request.
Yeah. But if you're picking your porn butter. Your porn moniker, your prostitution moniker, lid butter.
Yeah, I would go with
pretty gross.
Like if I was trolling for sex mates on Skype instead of lid butter, I would go with Brian's brine. That's like my own lid butter. Okay,
yeah.
Super gross.
Before we get into fancy pop, we have some life coaching to do.
Oh,
this is from our buddy Juan. I just learned via text from an acquaintance that a high school classmate of mine died from a meth overdose. I was a little confused that I hadn't heard already, so I went to check his FB page, and sure enough, dead. I then remember that I unfollowed him because he used to post a lot of annoying Illuminati truther material. I have so many people like that on Facebook.
I know. There's scores of people.
All the conspiracies.
I would immediately unfriend someone that did that.
Of course. His feed currently contains many hilarious attempts at people trying to cast his life in a positive light. Many middle school age pictures are on there and whatnot. This leads me to the advice question. Do I, A, refollow him so I can continue to be mildly entertained by the self-aggrandizing RIP crowd that's circling his page?
Mm-hmm.
B, continue to unfollow him just in case he was onto something and was off by the Illuminati / chemtrail, and I don't want to alert the higher order of my presence. C, unfriend him now because having a retired meth junkie friend as a friend on FB is not good for the look. Thanks, and glad I can count on you. That's from Juan Largo. This is an excellent email.
Is he unfriended or just unfollowed him?
I think he's unfriended, and now he wants to refriend, or he wants to know if he should refriend so he can check.
How can you unfriend him now if you've already... not friends with him anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to accept your friend request.
That's a good point. Well, maybe his mom.
That's true.
His mom.
Good point, Ed.
His mom is probably running the page or something. It's like, it's become a memorial page.
How entertaining can those RIP comments really be? Let's be honest here.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, the fact that people are idiots and you want to, you know, ignore them and everything, but like ultimately, he did kill himself.
Yes.
Accidentally. Yeah. And like, it's just kind of a bummer. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I get laughing at the, you know, the over the top RAP, but like, I think at that point you just move on and get the fuck away from
him. I mean, he was one of those annoying Illuminati chemtrail people.
Yeah, annoying people, but I'm saying like, it to me, it would just aggravate me more to see somebody glorified that just, you know, it was just an idiot with a drug problem.
Yeah, you believe in the Illuminati?
I don't really know what chemtrails are.
Well, it's
like the planes.
Yeah, it's the jet vapor in the sky from when a plane goes by.
Uh huh.
People, and I'm sure you're within the sound of my voice. And if there's any chemtrail truthers out there that are listening to me right now, and I know there are, there's no fucking government plot for mind control
contains chemicals.
They have the planes spray and it controls our brains. If government wanted to control our brains, they would just put it in the fucking food supply, retards.
Funny.
Water supply.
Funny. Exactly. They put
fucking fluoride in the water.
Yes.
I got a ride home from my mechanic yesterday.
Oh no. He might listen to this. Yes.
And he said something about
chemtrails.
Oh, shit. I didn't know what he's talking about.
This is the first you'd heard of it.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so you should check your car for.
Yes. He randomly started telling me how one of his friends had 3 days to live from cancer.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, I made some comment. I mean, it was uncomfortable. I had 10 minutes of conversation, small talk to make. And I said something like.
That seems like an appropriate time to bring up.
I was like, I said something. It was so weird. I said something like, yeah, one day they're going to find out that all the shit they put in our food. Is making us really sick.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that and the chemtrails.
Oh, or something. No.
And I was just like, no. I just was like,
oh, no.
I got really uncomfortable because I was like, I think that's something weird, but I don't want to get into it.
Yes. Yeah. Don't engage chemtrail people.
Sorry about your method.
Juan, I say you opt for option B. Continue to unfollow him. Just in case there is an actual Illuminati out there.
Yes, that's good, true. Good point.
That's true. But also, like, set yourself a Google alert and do like maybe around lunchtime every day, or maybe you have your little coffee break in the morning, or just give yourself some time every day and go look at his page and look at the dipshits that are posting RIP messages.
And by the way, one thing that annoys me about obituaries.
Yeah.
I hate that they don't give the cause of death sometimes. Yeah, you really know. He died of a meth overdose because of someone you know in common or something. But like, it's frustrating when you hear like, oh, so-and-so died and they were 34. Yeah. And you're like, well, what happened? You never find out.
You know, this has bugged me because a few people that I'm casually acquainted with have died over the last few years. And I check their Facebook, like, because they're young people and I want a heads up on like how they kicked off. And nobody's really very forthcoming with that info. And that's kind of bullshit.
And it could help. Right. If it's suicide, you could say get help. If it's some sort of cancer or something, or you know, behavioral thing, like, hey, watch out for this. But like, we don't get. Sometimes it happens with celebrities.
Yes, agreed.
Like when somebody dies and a celebrity, and they're 59, they're like natural causes. It's like, well, no.
Dies
somebody,
of natural causes.
Give me an answer. 59-year-olds don't die of natural causes.
Speaking of that, and we're gonna get into Fancy Pop momentarily. Zsa Zsa Gabor. Just this week turned 99, Ed.
They take off another limb?
I read she's going in for an undisclosed surgery.
She's Arthur Digby Sellers,
I've got her getting to 100. No, we can't be doing surgeries. That's very hard on the body of an old person.
Rip Abe. I'm still
I don't believe she's alive. I think she's being propped up.
She just turned 99. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? Oh, excellent, excellent email, by the way. We are life coaches here. Any life coaching questions? That was a perfect one right there.
Yeah,
any,
glad we could have fixed your life there.
Right. Any kind of questions you have along those lines, any kind of sex and relationship, any kind of social media.
And also back to the chemtrails thing, like a reminder, anyone who believes in conspiracies.
Yes.
There are none.
No. That's exactly right. You're a dipshit. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture?
All right. So there was even more destruction in Tarantino's bloody Western, The Hateful Eight, than anyone thought. Apparently a priceless 145-year-old guitar on loan from Pennsylvania's Martin Guitar Museum was accidentally smashed to bits by Kurt Russell during filming. There was like 8 replicas, and the real one was supposed to be switched out before he smashed it, but apparently Kurt didn't get that memo. So in that scene where he grabs the guitar from Jennifer Jason Leigh and smashes it up, that was a precious guitar.
Yeah, priceless.
Priceless.
Yeah. You know who is to blame here? The people who lended the guitar.
Of course.
If it was priceless, then say, hey, you're a big Hollywood shaker. Like, make a fucking replica.
Right.
Because if anyone notices it's not the original in some movie.
Like, who would know?
Well, then they're a huge nerd and fuck them. What? But like, just make replicas. You have Hollywood money.
I don't get that either.
Why did they make 8 replicas? The guitar is in one scene in the movie for about 2 minutes.
Because they probably might have just needed to film that smashing scene a few times.
Just use the replicas. You don't need the actual guitar. No one's ever going to notice that.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. And if they do, they're a huge loser.
Yes, and if you do, you're a huge loser. It's not like Eazy-E wearing a White Sox hat in 1986 when everybody knows that the White Sox didn't adopt that logo till 1991. Right. Now that's something that normal people would notice. This guitar is some nerd shit.
Yeah, I think it was justified. They should definitely smash any priceless things on movie sets, because if it's priceless, keep it in the fucking, you know, glass case.
Yeah. Here's my Honus Wagner baseball card. Why don't you borrow my Elephant Man's skeleton?
Right. If Kurt Russell at the rap party crashed some sort of museum and smashed it to bits, you'd be like, wow, that was a bit off.
Yes.
But like, no, they gave it to him.
So stupid.
For a violent movie. I've watched all of Tarantino's movies. I don't remember one movie where like there's not violence.
No.
Like you put it on the set, it might get smashed.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement here that this was stupid.
Right.
A stupid thing to do.
Like in Reservoir Dogs. Like they use when Mr. Blonde cuts off that cop's ear. They didn't use his actual ear. They used a prosthetic ear.
Well, that would have been good.
Right. Because the guy didn't say,
you know what?
Make a replica of my ear.
That would have been a lot more
realistic.
If you
cut this one off, sorry, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
But like, you know, one or the other.
Oh, Michael. What's his name? Michael Madsen.
I thought you were talking about the actor who got his ear cut off. I was that was his last
Michael
movie.
Madsen's not standing there holding. What do you mean? Oh, this is his actual ear? I thought
you were going to give me a replica. Sorry, I cut off his real ear.
Unbelievable. Okay, Kate.
Apparently, Tarantino was excited because the reaction on Jennifer Jason Leigh's face was very authentic while she watched the wrong guitar get
much
smashed.
Like when Hans Gruber, R.I.P., Alan Rickman.
I just read that story
Hans
recently.
Hans Gruber fell off the building at the end of Die Hard, the look of shock on his face was actually real because they dropped him before they said they were going to drop him.
On the count of three, and they go three and just let him go.
Yeah, yeah, love it. Okay, what else is going on, Kato?
Keeping up with the Kardashians, regular cast sort of member, Kim Kardashian's best friend, Jonathan Chabon, apparently is opening a school to teach rich kids about, quote, private aviation, social media, quality of diamonds, types of caviar, social stuff you need to know to survive in a city like this with a lot of money in New York.
Well, what's the class is I'm assuming this is postgraduate studies, but
academy called the International School of New York will be housed in Trump Tower, of course.
Chabon, and is one of them, did you say flying your own plane?
No, private
aviation.
Like,
let me finish. Chabon,
types of private planes.
Chabon told New York Magazine of his vital new mission to educate youths about the crucial tenets of celebrity culture. If you're buying a diamond, you need to know the clarity. And if you're buying a private jet, you need to know the different leathers and seats. I'll basically be the dean of pop culture at the school, Chabon said.
This guy.
Oh, if you're buying the jet.
Right, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a mismatch. It's like a finishing school for assholes.
Yeah, it seems very useful. Like they should have lots of people signing up.
Ed, you live in New York. You should send the Daily Children to this school. Like they're going to need to know.
I feel like you'll need to sign them up now.
Yeah.
It's like preschool when they're still just.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need to know their caviars.
Remember, the first rule I'm going to teach them about aviation is no small planes.
Right.
Not now, not ever. Because that's how they all die.
Right. That's true.
R.I.P. John Denver.
Good advice.
R.I.P. What's his name? Valens.
Steve Fawcett.
Big Bopper.
Yeah. You love
and wasn't the Big Bopper. I don't know. There's Skynyrd.
Yeah, Skynyrd.
That was like a 9-person plane or 8-person plane.
Yeah, no small planes. That's actually great advice.
JFK Jr., I have a feeling it had nothing to do with the plane.
It was the wife.
And it was just inbreeding. That family is They're bad.
They're all hopeless.
He had to take up. Well, yeah. They're yes.
They are the Massachusetts version of making a murderer.
They're very
that compound.
They're very unlucky. But the story goes is that
unlucky like Ted Kennedy, where he drove the girl into the water.
Mary Jo Kopechne.
Mary Jo Kopechne, and then like a day and a half later was like, you know, oh, by the way, can we search the water? Because I think there might be a girl down there we could save from drowning.
Well, he had to sleep it off.
Unlucky, like Stephen Avery.
The story on JFK Jr.
is
that he was trying to fly to his cousin's wedding, and there was weather coming in, and he's like, "We got to go," but the wife, Carolyn Bessette, was getting her nails done, and they could not match the color she had brought in. And so she was at the nail salon for hours.
Her manicure took a long time to complete.
And by the time they finally got the color right, he took off in bad weather, and we all know what happened. He was at the bottom of the Martha's Vineyard.
But her nails look great.
Sound. Yeah, I'm sure her nails are fantastic. Okay, Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
Singer Ciara has filed a $50 million libel and slander suit against baby daddy Future, citing the various interviews he's recently done in which he's talked dirty about her. She says Future's recent comments about her parenting skills are false, and she does her best to allow him to see their son.
Slander.
Last month, Future took to social media to vent about his relationship with Ciara, saying in a tweet, "This bitch got control problems. I got to go through lawyers to see baby Future. The fuckery for $15,000 a month." So
now, hang on. His son is baby Future?
That's probably like some moniker, but I don't know what it's weird. It's probably not actually called baby Future.
I don't think Future's Christian.
I think that's just what he refers to it as.
I think Future's Christian name is Future.
Right.
That would be weird.
That would be a stretch. Yeah,
that would be weird to name your kid after something you've named yourself.
That would be like if Chris Berman named his kid baby Boomer
Jr. Yeah. I don't know whose side to take here. On the one hand, Ciara, very hot.
She's with Russell Wilson, right?
But on the other, she spends time with Russell Wilson.
Right. Yeah. I mean that trumps all.
And I don't know this Future. I don't know his music. So if he's a good rapper, I might be on his side.
I mean,
do you know his songs, Ed?
Not particularly. I mean, I've heard him in the past and not inspiring enough to actually own any of his music, but
Would you like to know his given name?
Yeah, I would.
And wait, did you say that she's suing him?
She's suing him for slander.
For a comment, but slander in a song?
In a tweet.
On social media and interviews he's been giving.
What's Future's given name? I'm going to guess. Let me guess.
You'll never guess his name.
Thurston Howell the Fourth. No?
No.
Okay, what is it?
His name is Nevadius.
Of course.
DeMunn Wilburn.
Whoa.
That
would be hard.
Is called Future Junior.
Oh, he is. Future Junior. Wow. That's a baller move. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
On Tuesday, Universal announced that Johnny Depp will star in remake of The Invisible Man. In case you aren't familiar, the original 1933 film was an adaptation of legendary H.G. Wells' novel about a scientist who discovers a way to become invisible.
Sci-fi.
Johnny, funny story of how I was conceived. My father had a bit too much of absinthe one night, and he found a pile of scarves and bangle bracelets and got a little frisky. 9 months later, my mother delivered me.
Unbelievable. Shocking.
Johnny, were you born adorned with scarves and bangles?
Yeah, it was uncanny. The pile of scarves and bangle bracelets formed a vortex, and the stars aligned, and the Big Dipper aligned with the Little Dipper, and there you have baby Johnny.
Do you think that he's taken this role because he knows that in playing this character, he'll be invisible, and the only way you'll be able to see him on screen is if he wraps himself with even more scarves, bangle bracelets, and natty hats.
That's exactly it. Right. Because they'll be like, hey, where is that guy? And he just gets to wear these natty hats.
Yes. He just could wear his regular clothes and be the Invisible Man.
He's a walking wind catcher at this point.
This sounds like the movie.
Or Dreamcatcher. That's what he looks like.
This sounds like the kind of movie that I can't wait to not see.
It's
I mean, remaking a 1933 movie.
This is part of Universal. Guess what?
Every movie before 1965 was dog shit.
Did they even have
every movie?
Did they even have talkies in 1933? I mean, the special effects were shit back then.
Yeah, it was like Wizard of Oz.
And they all talked like da da da. They spoke real weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over there. See, yeah,
I'm not into that unless we're talking about the Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges because those guys are funny. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
I was going to say that this is part of Universal's plan to reestablish its famous monster characters. They've already have Tom Cruise slated to star in the remake of The Mummy.
Next year.
Wait, speaking of Invisible Man,
yes,
there's a good clip on YouTube. I'll post it.
Okay.
What's his Ed Begley Jr.
Yes.
It's like from the 80s. He thinks he's the Invisible Man and gets naked and like goes to a bar and everybody like sees him naked and he's like, "Ooh, I'm invisible, you can't see me," and everybody's like scared from him. It's actually pretty funny.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I know. A little bit.
Ed Begley, who's a weirdo, but seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I think he's a little heavy on the We should all look after the environment. He's one of those guys that probably is difficult to have a dinner party.
He wakes up every morning and he pedals a bike 15 minutes in his house to make enough energy to toast a piece of toast. But
yeah.
In the 80s, this guy was one of the biggest Hollywood poon slayers.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That there were.
Yeah, I think he did pretty well. He had a good track.
Playmates, Penthouse Pets.
Interesting.
This guy was always adorned with a beautiful, beautiful, very sexy woman. And I think he ended up marrying some type of a playmate or something. This guy, he used to take care of business back
then. We'll put it out as a companion piece. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Okay, Kate, what else is going on?
Kanye West is back at it. Tuesday, he took to Twitter to declare Bill Cosby innocent in all caps. Obviously, this message caused uproar all over the internet. And interestingly enough, the post comes 2 days before his Yeezy Season 3 show on Thursday. So many people are calling this a publicity stunt. I think this is extreme even for Kanye, though.
That's not the Kanye I know.
Yeah, right, right.
Right? So out of character.
Is he saying something outrageous for self-promotion?
Right.
Wow.
Shocking. Crazy.
So a lot of backlash.
He's dipping into the bottom of the barrel with that. That's not the Kanye.
No, definitely not.
I would say so.
What else is going on, Kathy?
Lastly, we have the Oscars coming up soon.
Oh, yes.
They're just around the corner.
Oscars so white.
So I guess in an attempt to mix up the prestigious ceremony, award show producers have asked each nominee to fill out a scroll card that includes their list of names to thank. So according to the producers, the names written on the card will scroll along the bottom of the screen so the winner can use the allotted 45 seconds to say something more meaningful without having to thank a whole list of people.
I kind of like that.
But here's the problem. Yeah. People who, as you've mentioned, are empty vessels are going to start thinking they're profound and saying shit.
Well, like...
we're going to find out.
What's his name? Leo DiCaprio is going to win Best Actor for The Revenant.
He's going to be able to talk about his causes.
He's going to get up there and talk about the environment, and he's going to talk about the indigenous people, and we're going to get a real
all look. We wanted to hear is his tales of being a world-class stick.
Right. that's what they should scroll on the screen. Like
all the people, his
kill list. Yeah,
every chick he's fucked. But the problem is, it would take the entire broadcast. It would all...
Right, they'd be playing the music for the end of his speech, and it'd still be going at like
high
speed.
There'd have to be two tickers. There'd be one that just like was Leo's conquest, that just like the entire show, and then above that would be like whoever was talking.
Right, still listing. They'd start at the very beginning of the show, and 5 hours later they would still be scrolling models' names on the bottom, and then the show would end and there would just be an ellipses ...
still fucking after all these years.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. I don't you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do an Oscar preview column for the website. You can get my picks if you want to go and place bets on who's gonna win the Academy Awards. Okay, Kate, excellent job. As always, Ed Daly.
Thank you.
fantastic job by you.
Great.
We're going to be off the air.
Probably the best. We sounded like the best looking audio in the history of audio.
We do sound pretty good looking.
We're a handsome.
We all sounded good looking.
We're a handsome group. I would agree. These are all good looking people that do.
Kind of feel guilty because if you've ever seen those billboards of like the morning radio hosts,
yeah.
They're all hideous. Yeah, it's weird.
Ed, how good no comment are. On noted New York staple, sports talk radio staple, Mike Francesa having a huge hog.
Oh, that's unfortunate because he's the worst. He is the worst. It's one of those things where you want somebody to fail and they just keep failing upwards. He's a piece of shit.
Makes a lot of money.
He's one of those guys that like gets all arrogant and be like, "Get off my airways!"
Oh yeah,
like hangs up and like, "Who are you? Right. You're a fucking guy answering phones.
Right.
Get off your airways. That's your entire show, asshole."
Like, he makes like $3 or $4 million a year doing that, by the way.
Piece of shit.
Okay. Yeah. As Kate alluded to, next week we're going to run. I think I'm going to rerun the Karate Kid episode if I can figure out how to do that because we're going to be dark next week. So check in for an old episode, a classic episode next week, and then
sure.
Jump back in with a new episode the following week.
And so. Happy Valentine's Day to all you lovers out there. It's a stupid holiday, but if you're going to celebrate, have fun.
Hallmark holiday. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's stupid, but it's a pretty high percentage of sex.
Yeah.
Even for single people, because you go to a bar on Valentine's Day, and it's fish in a barrel.
That's true. That's a great point.
Have lots of sex on the night because
to be
Monday
loved.
Is President's Day. Lots of people have off.
Yeah, that's true. Great point. Okay,
good excellent luck getting job. Late then.
As Come always, on. Yeah, everybody go out and try to get some sex, single people. For Ed Daly, for Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
We'll be right back.